Well, as Johnny's already said, the statement we're looking at today is what Jesus said, that I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Before we get into more of the details there, looking at what exactly said, I want to tell you about a memory of a guy named Chuck DeClean, because when I was thinking, you know, Lord, what shepherds have I been in touch with in my life that have influenced me? A guy named Chuck DeClean came to mind. He was one of my roommates in Bible college up in Omaha back in the 70s. And I lived in that house with him, and he would be sharing with me. He's a little bit older. He'd been through the military before. And then when he got out of the military, he went to Bible school. And he would tell me about these people he's getting to know in the neighborhood where his girlfriend lived. And the agony that they'd be going through, and his heart would just come out. He says, oh, I'm just so sad for so-and-so. It's just unbelievable what they're going through. And then he'd talk about how he would pray with them and how they would get encouraged and how God was at work. And he kept on sharing stories like that. And he said, Mike, if you want to see God at work, you ought to come with me. Just to see God at work and hurting people's lives. So I went with him. I ended up signing up for the same outreach training that he was going through with his church and spending a year with his church. And my life has never been the same since then. I'm still learning, but he was a shepherd, an under-shepherd with the Lord that really touched my heart in the process of me getting to know the good shepherd. That's looking out for all of us. So today we're going to look at the Good Shepherd a little bit more, but also looking at Peter as one of his followers and his experience with the Good Shepherd. It's pretty interesting. And then how does all that relate to us and how we can get to know the Good Shepherd? So let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are an amazing shepherd. We know you're right here. A lot of us wish we could see you in person, hear you with our ears, but we know we're better off, at least at this time, for us not to see you and for your spirit to be here. So we thank you for that. Thank you for your spirit's presence. We ask for your help because we want to know the good shepherd, the overseer of our souls, who's also our savior, our everything. Help us get to know you even more, Lord. We pray in your name. Amen. Okay, let's go to John 10, where the statement is first made, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. We're going to read verse 11 through 18. John covered the first part of this chapter here last week when Jesus said, I am the gate or the door to the sheep. So these are kind of all intermixed there because it's two analogies, two metaphors that are used, the gate and the shepherd. And of course, Jesus is everything, being the creator and the sustainer of everything. He could use anything in the world, you know, the light, the door that he did, because he's our all in every way. So everything relates to him. Here he says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Wow, those are strong, authoritative, encouraging statements that Jesus made there. So backing up, first part of this passage, the qualities of the good shepherd, he lays down his life for the sheep. He repeats that phrase several times, as you notice reading through this, how he gives up his life for the sheep. And dying, obviously, is one thing that Jesus did for the sheep. We'll be looking at that later. But another way that I see what he did is he took responsibility for the sheep. He wasn't just doing the work like a hired hand that talks about here who has his job. Some difficulty comes, he's more concerned about himself. He's there to get an income to support himself. And so when difficulty comes, the risk of his life, whatever, he's off and running. But not Jesus. A pure shepherd's heart gives his life for the sheep, takes responsibility for the sheep. So over the years, that's been a difference for me. So I've been learning, if I want to help someone, I'm going to take as much responsibility. Similar to a parent. So many of you are parents. You know it's your responsibility for that child. You can't expect, well, some people would expect other people to take care of their children. But as a wholehearted parent, you take responsibility for your children. And obviously that's what Jesus did with his sheep. He took responsibility in every way for those people. He knows, or another quality is that he, we already defined that. He knows his sheep, verse 14. He knows the sheep. This, we can take it real casually, just reading real quick, because a parent can say, well, I know my kids. I know which is my child. I'd be able to pick him out of a crowd and anywhere. But you started to get to know that baby. The mom started to get to know that baby a few weeks after conception. Things are happening there, and you gradually get to know that child. So you know that child intimately in many ways. But with Jesus, the Good Shepherd, if we take all of Scripture, we find out he knew us before the creation of the world. Ephesians 1:4, he chose us. All of his children he chose before the creation of the world. He knew Mike Bergen before any of this planet was created. He had a plan for Mike Bergen, me, and any of you that are his children. He was thinking about you and had a plan for you. And here we are. We're part of a plan. He had me in mind thousands of years ago. I can't put a time on it. I just know it was before the creation of the world that he chose me and had a plan for me. And now I found out his plan for me is an eternal plan as his child. It's never going to end. Eternal life. Wow. That's so big, I can't even comprehend it. But that's the degree he knows me. He knows me from before any human being even existed. He knew me. And I'm fitting in with that plan. There. He knows his sheep. The next one here. The sheep know him. Verse 14. Jesus says, in the same way Jesus knows the Father. Obviously, I don't know Jesus as well as Jesus knew the Father. But his Spirit is in me, helping me know him in that same way. That's his goal, for me to have as tight a relationship. God's desire is for me to have close community relationship, heart relationship with the Father, similar as much as possible. Because I am his child, I know that it will be totally fulfilled when I'm in his presence. But right now, I am completely his child. And he knows me completely, but I'm in the process of getting to know him. His desire is, though, for me to know him as completely as possible. And that's why he wants us to be involved with him, why he talked to Peter the way he did a little bit later. And then the sheep know him, and the sheep listen to his voice. That's a huge thing here that's repeated multiple times in this chapter about the sheep listening to his voice. Verse 3, the sheep listen to the voice of their shepherd. Verse 4, in chapter 10, the sheep know their shepherd's voice. Verse 5, the sheep run from false shepherds because they don't recognize the voice. Verse 8, sheep do not listen to false shepherds. It's repeated there. How do we know his voice? It's by the Holy Spirit's help. We need his help. We have his word. His word and his Holy Spirit helps us know his voice. And again, I'm in the process of learning to discern and understand But that's his desire. That's his plan for the sheep, to know the shepherd's voice, and he's helping me learn that, and he will, as much as I want him to help me learn that. So that's a brief overview here of the qualities of a shepherd in John 10. Let's quickly review also Psalm 23. Before we look at Peter and what his experience was as the shepherd, Psalm 23. A lot of you are familiar with that. I'm just going to summarize the main points. You can turn to it if you want. Verse 1 and verse 3. Verse 1 through 3, see that the Lord is my shepherd. We even sing the song. Clifton did a great job leading us there in singing a lot of what that psalm says. He meets our physical and our spiritual and emotional needs. He's more than these human shepherds taking care of sheep animals. He is the perfect shepherd that understands and takes care of all of our needs and even laying his life down for us. The shepherd gives guidance to us, Psalm 23, verse 3. The shepherd provides protection, verse 4. The shepherd provides teaching and correction in verse 4 also. We're going to be recalling a little bit here a little bit later as we look at these qualities. But one thing I'll point out here is that these qualities in John 10 and in Psalm 23 are qualities of parent. We don't have to get some degree or have some special gift to be a parent. But all these qualities are still very important. And that relates to Jesus' desire for us to be learning to be shepherds along with him. So let's look at Peter's example, Peter's experience with the four shepherds. Because all four Gospels are really accounts of Peter's life with the shepherd. And Jesus talked to Peter a fair amount about what it means to care for sheep and his relationship with Peter as a shepherd. So that's why I chose Peter as an example to look at as we're thinking about the Good Shepherd and how the Good Shepherd is relating to all of us. So one of the first things that I've written down here is from Matthew chapter 9, the Good Shepherd saw people to be like sheep who need constant care. Let me read Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That's a shepherd's heart. That's how the Good Shepherd saw people. They were like sheep, harassed and helpless, in need of a shepherd. As Peter spent time with Jesus, he probably heard Jesus say things like this that he'd never heard other people say. Maybe his local rabbi had talked about sheep, people being like sheep that are harassed and helpless. I don't know. But there's other statements that he heard Jesus make. Like in Luke chapter 23, Jesus says, looking at over Jerusalem, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. That's not a shepherd picture, but that's essentially the same as a shepherd. Gathering your chicks under their wings. You know, Peter probably thought, I've never heard a man talk like that. Oh, I wish I could just gather all of you under my wings and take care of you. There's something different about this guy that Peter is spending time with. And in Luke chapter 19, it says that Jesus was crying over the city. I doubt that Peter had seen a man cry over the city, looking out at the crowds in the city and crying over them. I doubt Peter had seen that kind of thing happening before. And it caused me to think of what that heart is. And as I was going through this whole subject, the situation in Ukraine came up again because I hear these stories of people rescuing. It's like rescuing sheep and helping sheep in this desperate situation. And I realize there's a lot of similarities on what's going on in there. And especially stories of orphanage directors. So I think Nate was able to download a video here. It's a real short one, a little excerpt. You're hearing a director of an orphanage as she is trying to get her orphans out on a train station out of Poland, out of Ukraine to Poland. And it revealed little taste of shepherd's heart that Peter saw with Jesus. If you're able to, Nate, if you're able to play that.
Well, Putin is saying that he is doing something here, that he is simply killing people, I don't understand why the Russian people cannot believe that we are being bombarded, that we and our children are being killed. It is very hard, I'm sorry. We don't want to leave Ukraine. We love it. It's so hard. But unfortunately, we must leave. We really want to come back.
Little taste of the shepherd's heart. Convinced that's a little idea of what Peter was exposed to as he was spending time with the good shepherd, as he was rescuing people when he lived here. Another quality of the good shepherd is that he took action. Like this orphanage director was also. The verse right next to the one I read about him seeing the sheep as harassed and helpless, Matthew 9:35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. That's what the good shepherd is doing. Going through to rescue, to help these harassed and helpless sheep. Man of action. There's a picture here, some more orphans. And I don't know that this is the same group that I heard on the podcast, World and Everything, in it, about a Christian orphanage director in Kyiv who realized as things were happening, he managed to recruit two big buses and an army escort to get the orphans from Kyiv that he was responsible for to Poland. And on his way, he would stop and pick up more orphans. He's driving at night, pull them out of bed, of course, with the orphanage director's permission, and load up the bus as much as they could to get them out to the border. A man of action to help if they need. Another quality of the good shepherd. The good shepherd recruited help. I don't have to be careful about that word recruited help, because with Jesus, he's getting the job done. We get to be involved. He doesn't depend on us, but it's more like he allows us to get involved. Similar to parents, you know, you've had these projects, you know, little three-year-old, Daddy, can I help you change the oil? Can I help Daddy? Yes, sure. Here, you can hold this wrench or something. Oh, and goes in and tells Mom, I helped Daddy fix the car. And that's so sweet, but I'd say that's a good picture of how we're helping Jesus. You know, he's getting the work done. We have the privilege to hold the wrench or do this little part. But for us, the part we have is often very difficult. Very difficult. But he's not uptight. He's just saying, Mike, you thrill my heart. Do you want to hold my wrench for me, or you want to do this part? It's a privilege we have to be involved with his work. He's a good shepherd. He's getting the work done. I don't understand a lot of why is this, what that. I don't understand that. But that's because he's the good shepherd. He knows things. He has such a clearer picture than what I understand. And so what Jesus did in the next verse after that, after he took action and said, this is what the people are like, harassed and helpless. Then he said to his disciples, harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers in his harvest field. And what did he do in the next verse? Okay, you guys are going, all of you. And the next chapter, chapter 10, is instruction from the good shepherd to go out and rescue the sheep. It's like, okay, you guys are going into Ukraine. You're going to rescue them. They need help. All of you are going in there. Say, what? Me? Yep, you might. Because he knows that I'm going to get to know him, the good shepherd especially, and he wants me to be involved in helping the sheep. And as a result, one of the things that he said, another quality that comes out, is the good shepherd knows his work is dangerous. So we read chapter 10. He gave instructions to his followers to go out. Huge part of that chapter is dealing with danger. Look at verse 16. Jesus said, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Okay, verse 17. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. Verse 22. All men will hate you because of me. When you're persecuted in one place, flee to another. It's not an easy job, is it? Verse 25. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub or Satan, how much more are the members of his household? You guys can expect the same treatment that they're giving me as the good shepherd. Verse 28. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but not kill the soul. This is dangerous work that he's sending out his disciples to do. It reminded me of what, another picture here of what happened in Ukraine. I think we have this. Yeah, three workers are in this van going to deliver help. And their plan was to pick up a load of children to bring them back. But artillery fire hit them. They all had to go to the hospital. One of them remained there. They all had head injuries. One had to stay in the hospital because of head injuries. Because they're trying to do the work of a shepherd in enemy territory, which is really all around enemy territory. And what Ephesians 6 helps us understand, that we are in a spiritual battle. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. In Ukraine, it's a flesh and blood battle. It's horrible. But it's a picture of a much desperate battle, much more desperate battle going on in the spiritual realm. And Jesus was educating his disciples, I'm the good shepherd. This is serious business. It's dangerous business in all kinds of ways. Not just physically dangerous, but emotionally dangerous, spiritually dangerous. Another quality of the good shepherd. The good shepherd gave instruction to Peter. And this is where you get a little bit more personal. He gives instruction to all of us. We have some of his interaction with Peter recorded in the Gospels. Starts out Matthew 4:19. One of the first things that Jesus told Peter, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. He's using the analogy of catching fish instead of rescuing sheep, but it's the same type of thing. Come with me and I'll teach you how to rescue sheep. That's what, another way, essentially the same thing he'd be saying to Peter. So Peter followed him. He saw the good shepherd in action for 3 whole years. Things weren't easy. Just like Jesus says, they got so difficult for Peter that he went back on his promise. He vowed his heart was never to deny Jesus. But as you all know, he ended up denying him 3 times. I don't even know the good shepherd. I don't have anything to do with him. Horrible. But I know the capability of my heart when things get tough. And that's what Peter experienced. And then we all know the story after the resurrection. Peter appeared by the lake and he again reminded him, hey, it's me. And all those fish that he helped Peter pull in came to the shore in the fire and is talking with Peter. And Jesus was clarifying that he still loved Peter. And he asked Peter, do you love me, Peter? And the response, and Peter says, yes, yes, Lord, I love you. What did he say, Jesus? Feed my lambs. There's a good shepherd giving instruction to Peter. Again, Peter, you love me, so feed my lambs. And he said again, Peter, do you love me? He said, yep. Take care of my sheep. All these analogies coming out. And he asked a third time, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Here's a shepherd's heart. And he wants Peter. Peter, this guy has made such a horrible mistake, still figuring out what to do. Giving him responsibility to care for sheep. Feed them. Take care of them. Somehow the good shepherd allows us sheep that are stumbling around making mistakes to be involved with his eternal work. Such important work. Because he's able to work out all these details in ways we can't. He gives us that privilege. It feels so messy, so horrible. But he's accomplishing a good thing. So that it just motivates me to say, to have more freedom. I want to do that, Lord. You are so amazing. Show me more ways how I can be involved with you and caring for the sheep and feeding the sheep. Say again, did Peter have to have a special gift for Jesus to say, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep? I'm convinced he really didn't need a special gift because, again, it's like a parent in all of us. So any person, any normal person can become a parent. And so this brings us to the other point here. Well, one thing I wanted to throw out about Peter is that the letter that he wrote in 1 Peter, probably a few decades after Jesus had left, he gives instruction in chapter 5. It says, to the elders among you, be shepherds of God's flock. But there's a lot of reasons, which I'll look at just right real quick here, that really that principle of being shepherds, learning to be a shepherd, is like learning to be a parent, applies to all of his children, all of his people. And then he says, and when, in verse 5, and when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. That was still clear in Peter's mind. I am living for the chief shepherd. I love him. And that's why I want to feed the sheep. And you guys can be involved with the sheep also until the chief shepherd comes back. A lot to look forward to there. So how you and I can get to know the good shepherd? Well, the Lord wants all of his followers to help with shepherding, like we've already been talking about, because it's his work. And we have that privilege of being involved with him. It's not something that he's desperate to get work done, like a lot of these signs you see around the city, for hire, not hiring, we need you. Some businesses can't survive without workers. But with Jesus, he definitely can survive without workers. And we have the privilege of being involved with him in this amazing work. How do we know it applies to all of us? Being involved as shepherd? Well, one is that passage you looked at in Matthew 10. He sent out all of his disciples. I want all of you to go out, rescue sheep. Another place, Matthew 28, after the resurrection, before Jesus ascended, he said, I have all authority. Go and make disciples, teaching them to do everything that I trained you to do. So all the future disciples that they would reach, Jesus said, teach them to do everything I trained you to do. So all of his training for his disciples as a shepherd, that's me. That's you. It applies to all of us, learning to be a spiritual parent with him. And a promise with that has been encouraging to me comes out of the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. Because this metaphor, analogy of a shepherd and the sheep is pretty much all through the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. And in Isaiah chapter 40, it says, he, God, will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. I remember someone pointing this out to me many years ago. He says, Mike, do you want Jesus to be the leader in your life? Do you want his special care and leadership? Yes, yes. It's been so hard. I want him to lead. I want more help from him. Well, this is one of the principles here. He points out that he will gently lead those that are with young. And I see that applying to what he was talking about with Peter. For us to get to know the Good Shepherd is to get involved with his work. And his heart is for people to rescue the lost and to nurture them and to help them grow as much as possible. And so, saying, if you guys want to experience my work, my heart, my gentle leading in your life, come with me. Come with me. And I will be all the more eager because it's his work and And he's so eager to teach us how to be involved in his work. And as a result, we get to know the Good Shepherd all the more. Experience his work in our life and in other people's lives. And there's nothing else more fulfilling than being involved with him in his work of shepherding. Whether it's in our family, parents, learning to cooperate with the Good Shepherd, or people in any other situation, reaching out to those that God has us in touch with. So for me, with him, it's been a long journey. You know, I'm 66. I remember back when I was in high school, God was starting to touch my heart because I didn't enjoy people. I've told you that before. Step by step, a lot of steps. It's so hard to help another person become a Christian. Talked to so many people before finally someone said, yeah, I want to open up my heart to Christ. That was so amazing. He could use me. But you know what? Now I feel like it's even harder in a lot of ways. And the neighborhoods where I'm living in Olathe and Lee Summit, I know a lot of people. I'm trying to be the friends. I'm praying. You guys are praying with us. But where are the sheep? Where's the response? There's less response than before. I'm learning. I'm crying out to the Good Shepherd. But I'm growing with him. And it's a battleground. Our neighborhood in Lee Summit, we live on a cul-de-sac. 11 houses. It's two Christians, Reed and I, and one other family that has younger kids that are strongly involved in the church. Seven of those 11 households are either divorced or living together unmarried. And that's pain. There's no gunfire. We did hear fireworks when KU won this last week, but there's no gunfire in our neighborhood. But there's pain. And the way Jesus defined things, when there's immorality, adultery, divorce, that's pain. That's hitting people's hearts, tearing apart people's hearts. And that's warfare. When young 30-year-old man across the street dies from an overdose, there's a lot of pain, a lot of relationships affected. When I come back home a couple months later, and one of the yards has piles of clothes laying all over it, and household furnishings, and police cars there, and people milling around talking for a few hours, there's pain. There's a lot of pain going on there in that household. And the Good Shepherd sees all of that. And he gives me the privilege of being involved. Mike, these people are harassed and helpless in your neighborhood, this well-to-do American neighborhood. Olathe is the same way. We don't hear the gunshots, but spiritually and emotionally, they're going off. People are being devastated and wiped up, and the Good Shepherd saying, Mike, want to be involved with me? I want you to be involved with me. So I get to know his heart more as I do get involved. Huge problem with the war that we're in my neighborhood. The people don't even know they're in a war. Ukraine, they at least know they're in a war. They're ready to jump on a bus and get out. My neighborhood, they're not. They argue with me whether or not they're in a war. I see the pain. I see like I was just describing. To me, it's obvious. They argue with me, saying they don't need to be rescued. They're not in a war. That's exasperating. Why should I continue to try to rescue them? But that's, Good Shepherd, what do I do? You experience that in your same neighborhoods there. But he's the same. His heart is the same. The sheep are very the same. I'm still learning, and I'm glad we can learn together. So steps you can take to get involved with the Good Shepherd. Nothing complicated here. Ask God daily to use you to rescue lost sheep. Even just a lost sheep. I am praying for neighbors every day. At Olathe, Lee Summit, by name, in general, anywhere I can. Or work in their hearts. Asking him, I've been asking it for many years, and I've seen him do amazing things. But it's a battle, all kind of ways. And ask God daily to use you to help another sheep get to know the Good Shepherd. Could be someone right here. We need all the help we can get. I've benefited from help you guys have given me. Appreciate that so much. But that's another way to rescue lost sheep, Help other sheep get to know the Good Shepherd. And as I've learned so much as I try to think, how can I help someone become a Christian? But then someone's a Christian, how can I help this person grow? If they're open for Bible study, what part of the Bible would be most helpful? What should we look at? Just all kind of questions go through my mind. And I've got to pray. I've got to get advice. I've got to read. Because just like raising my children. When I have responsibility for these children, I've got to learn a lot. And Nate and Stephanie, there's first one on the way. They know a lot already. They've grown up in great homes, but they're going to learn a lot about the Good Shepherd and learning to be shepherds as parents. And I'm still learning as a grandparent and reaching out in a lot of ways. But what a great opportunity to participate with the heart of the Good Shepherd. And as a result, we get to know him more than ever before. And it just increases my desire, even though things are getting harder in some ways, my desire has grown so much. There's nothing else I want to do than just learn to lose my life with the Good Shepherd. That's what he's designed us for. Let's pray. Lord, thanks again for this privilege of living with you, investing with you, fighting with you, all these different aspects of living life with you as the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. We get to be the sheep, but you want the sheep to be involved with you. What a privilege, Lord. We look to you to continue to teach us how to carry out these things that we've been thinking about and talking about here from your word. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.